The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. To the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. This is a super special anniversary edition of the program. Chris Himes, Albin.
Yes.
Today is the sixth anniversary. Oh, you have a cake? Show that again.
I do have a cake. Of course I have a cake. It's the anniversary. 6 years. Yay.
6 years young.
Yay.
The Eric Metaxas Show. We've just begun to break even. Isn't that sweet? And it only took 6 years. They said three. And I said, there's no way it's taken that long. And it's taken six. Okay. So this is the sixth anniversary. I remember the date, April 20th. Why? Because it was Hitler's birthday. It is Hitler's birthday. Happy birthday.
Okay. This is not for you, Adolf. This is not.
But it was Hitler's birthday. And so when we did our first show on Hitler's birthday, I said the only way to make this right is for me to have on Dame Alice von Hildebrandt, my friend, Lily Hildebrandt, who is the widow of the number one enemy of Adolf Hitler in Austria, a true hero of the Catholic Christian faith in Austria. He died, I think, in 1980. His widow, Lily von Hildebrandt, our friend, she came on the show. So we thought we'd stick it to Adolf on his birthday by having the widow of his arch enemy, whom he did not kill, Dietrich von Hildebrandt. So that's 6 years ago. Chris, it doesn't seem like 6 years ago, does it? It seems like 12 years ago. We can't hear Chris.
Chris is, we can't hear. He's going to get off of mute. I'm going to blow out the candle.
Hey, sorry. I mean, it doesn't feel like that long ago. I remember it like it was yesterday. My impression of Alice was that she was one of the toughest women that I've ever had the pleasure of meeting. She was kind of amazing.
And she dropped you with a left hook. I remember that. Man.
I never saw that coming.
Well, we've got a lot to mention. First of all, happy birthday to this show. And
yes.
Thank you to both of you. For lightening my burden on those rare occasions when you've done that. I want to say thank you. And let me also
say isn't one of them. Yeah.
That this is a very special day because tonight on Newsmax, on the Stinchfield show, by the way, if your name's Stinchfield, change it. But on the Stinchfield show, I'm going to be on in the first half hour on Newsmax talking about our Lou Dobbs interview. We interviewed Lou Dobbs a couple of days ago. We'll replay it soon. He was in a car driving his wife to the dentist. Kind of strange and kind of fun. Speaking of strange and fun, today we are airing our long interview with Milo Yiannopoulos. Milo Yiannopoulos is sui generis, S-U-I-G-E-N-E-R-I-S. That's Latin for crazy town. And it is so great to talk to him. He's very brave. And if you don't know who he is, let me just say, listen to the interview. Actually, even better, we're going to post it. We posted it already on Rumble. If you get my newsletter, we tee it up for you. So you just open the newsletter and it's right there. Otherwise, you have to go to rumble.com and find it. It's way too controversial for YouTube, which is now a Marxist organization. So, Albin, what are we forgetting? Oh, I'm in California. You're wondering why am I in this weird environment? I'm in California. I'm speaking tonight in San Marcos at Rise Church. Wonderful pastor. We had dinner last night. Just... you meet these people, it's like instant friends. So tonight I'm speaking in San Marcos at Rise Church here in this north of San Diego. Then I'm going to be speaking Thursday night at Signal Hill at a church. I believe it's a Calvary Chapel, a church in Signal Hill, which is in the Orange County area. And then I'm going up to Thousand Oaks to speak in Rob McCoy's church this weekend. So a lot of speaking in California. That's why I'm here in this hotel room. Can you tell us the hotel room? Yes, you can. So tonight, Stinchfield, 8 p.m. hour, talking about Lou Dobbs. I don't know. Why are they going to interview me about an interview? What do you think?
It sounds kind of crazy, but that Lou Dobbs thing, we'll probably re-air it this Thursday or something, but that was a crazy interview. You got to admit.
I mean, here's the funny thing. My dad watched it. He and my mom watched it and they loved it. I think it was their proudest moment of me as their son that I got Lou Dobbs on the show. And my father said to me, I think they're going to want to play that on Newsmax or something. They have to. And I said, Dad, there's no way. Like, what are you talking about? That's not going to happen. And sure enough, this morning, Newsmax calls me up and says, we'd like to talk to you about the Lou Dobbs interview. I don't know. It's going to be.
Yeah. They said they got a phone call from your dad and they have to do it.
Well, we've got two other things to mention. Milo, I'm arguing with him online because he today is in Hawaii and he wants to throw his $100,000 engagement ring from he was married to a man and now he has disavowed that and is celibate and is going to open a clinic for people who are struggling with unwanted same-sex attraction. And so he's totally on the other side and he's deadly in earnest, which is why I hope you'll share the Rumble video with people. But he is planning to throw this expensive diamond engagement ring. He calls it the sodomy ring. That's a little joke that he has. He's going to throw it into a volcano in Maui. We're not kidding. And I'm trying to talk him out of it. I'm like Judas, like, hey, we should take that money and, you know, give it to the poor. Yeah. Except I'm serious. Like he should sell it and give the money to Little Sisters of the Poor or something. Like don't throw it in a volcano. Yeah. But that's Milo for you. Yeah. Okay.
Well, it sounds like the world's worst Hobbit sequel book.
Well, that's the point. I think that's why he's doing it, just to be cheeky. Okay. We also have to mention, I'm going to be on Frank's
Precious
today on LindellTV.com talking about something. I don't know. So go to Frank's speech. It's been kind of a dumpster fire, as you put it, Chris. We also should talk about something. Everybody goes, oh, we're so sorry. And then instantly I say to them, don't be sorry, because listen to this story. On Sunday morning, that's what, 2 days ago, I woke up and Suzanne said, Mom died. Her mother, 96 years old, died in the middle of the night, Sunday night. Okay. So immediately after that, she gets a phone call from her sister, Joanne. I preached about this up in Bethel Church. She gets a phone call from her sister, Joanne. Joanne, in the middle of the night, had a vision. Joanne was in bed and she had a vision, like a real vision of walking into her mother's bedroom and saying, Mom, it's me, Joanne. Her mother looks at her and she says, Mom, Jesus is with me. Do you see him? And her mother said, yes. And then Joanne said, I'm going to give you to Jesus. He's going to take care of you now. Is that okay, Mom? And she says, it's okay. Bye. When Joanne woke up, she knew her mother had passed. And sure enough, that happened 2:54 a.m. And everybody who's been around this knows her mother had to have died right around 3 a.m. So total miracle. And I spoke about it. I think I posted the sermon on Twitter. We'll post it on my newsletter, which I think we'll send out today. But look for it, because it's one of these things where I talk about the mercy of God, how merciful he is to us to let us know that Mom is with Jesus. And it's just, anyway, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. And I said, I've got to share that because that's a real miracle. And I hope I haven't left out any details so people are thinking, what was that? It was a vision. It was an amazing thing. And anyway.
Well, our condolences to Suzanne's family. That's a sweet, sweet
story. Isn't that amazing, though? It's like you realize she's with Jesus. Like, what could be better that we know that Jesus, that God wanted us to know that she is with him. He did that for us, for all of us, all the kids, you know, to have no doubt of what's going on and what just happened. And so it's so beautiful. It's great witness to all the grandkids. So kind of a crazy weekend. Let's see, we're doing Milo today. So both hours, you do want to watch the video, I think. And I asked him after we were on the air, we went and we had dinner and I looked at him because his hair doesn't look like something doesn't seem the same or it seems wrong somehow. And I said, hey, Milo, are you between treatments? And he said, wow, that really hurts. You just landed a blow. It's the first, like, you know, first blow that I landed in our ongoing battle of wits. The Milo thing, I don't think you want to miss it. No. And we've got lots more to talk about. We'll talk about it at the end of the hour.
He's truly a changed man. I mean, I talked with him in the green room.
We'll have him on again because there's way more to talk about. But sign up for my newsletter. And if you have any friends in the California, Southern California area, please let them know that I'm here, that I'm speaking various times. And we'll be back with Milo Yiannopoulos. Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year, and I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out. Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. Like you, I am sick of hearing about big tech companies spying on their customers, selling their data, and not being able to keep their platforms safe and secure. Luckily, I've found SquadPod, a private platform that helps businesses, organizations, churches, and nonprofits take back control of their communication. SquadPod has three things going for it that other companies do not. First, SquadPod puts you in control of who is a part of your team, what they see, and how they interact with the group. Second, SquadPod is 100% owned and operated in the United States. Third, SquadPod is simple to use. Just create an account, invite your team, and start communicating via their secure video and messaging features. Learn more at squadpod.com/Eric. That's squadpod.com/Eric. Let me say it again, squadpod.com/Eric. Check it out. Hey there, folks. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. I will be playing the role of Eric Metaxas. We couldn't get the real thing, but I'm close enough. No, who's going to notice, right? My guest playing himself is Milo Yiannopoulos. Milo, we've been talking about some really important things. I think a lot of people will be triggered by what we've been talking about, and that is our goal on this program.
We have, in fact, been talking about me playing myself in the African American sense of the expression,
as it were.
Yeah,
what it is.
Yeah, I've come to this realization recently that I should step away from doing things with other men because I was commanded to do it by conscience. I felt a duty to do it. And because it wasn't making me happy, it wasn't giving me the things that I felt like it ought to. And my natural sense of noblesse oblige instantly kicked in almost before I started the process for myself, thinking, okay, well, this is good. Now, how can I help everybody else do this? Because that's just how my brain works, I guess. I'm a giver. So in addition to the clinic that I want to open in Florida, which is going to help other people go through this process, I'm also just going to be writing and speaking a lot more about it in future. My next book, for instance, I'm currently putting it together. It's called Make America Hate Again. And the idea behind the book is that we have lost our understanding of, it is right and proper to hate hateful things. Yeah. And hate's become this kind of all.
Just to be clear, it's never okay to hate people. Never.
No.
But it's always right to hate bad things. And that's proper.
Right. So indeed. And so this book is kind of rehabilitating our natural instincts for hatred and righteous indignation, all the rest of it. And part that's very much come out of my journey where I began to hate the hateful things I was doing. You know, and so there's a chapter on gays and conversion in the book, and you. One of the things I've learned over the past 5 years is we try debating the other side And we live in such completely different fact universes now, you know. The establishment lunacy and those of us who are trying to, you know, live normal and healthy and holy lives. We live in such different fact universes. So I think the time to debate is over. You know, I think it's done. I think now the appropriate response is shut up and goodbye and get on with the nice life. And really embracing the, you know, when someone says, oh, you're self-loathing. Yup. You're damn right. I hate the awful things I do and I want to improve them. I want to get better. This idea of self-improvement, of that you might not actually be a perfect, beautiful, brilliant person and the world is wrong and the systems are wrong and you know, body expectations are wrong and the patriarchy is doing this and white supremacy is doing this. No, actually, you're a fundamentally good person, but you're doing really dreadful things. We all are, and it would be a good idea and would make you happy and, you know, guess what? When you die, I might have a nice upside for you if you identify what those things are and try to fix them. So this thing that's always lobbed at gay conservatives, self-loathing, I think the appropriate response, rather than trying to be clever about it, is just to say, yeah, I do hate the awful things I do. And I hate the awful things you do as well. And let me tell you about what some of them are. So, you know, my next book is about that. And the next, you know, 10 years of my career, I'm going to come out of retirement, I suppose. I have to start talking a little bit more about rehabilitating hate in that specific way, in that technical way.
Well, look, this is biblical. It's that simple. You don't have to read Anthony Isselin to know these things. I mean, although I recommend his books. But the point is that ordering our affections means training ourselves to love the things that God loves and training ourselves, consequently, to hate the things that God hates. And anything that harms those God loves, God hates.
Right. And if you were to not know this, which most people sadly don't, you might get the impression from popular culture that hating anything at any time for any reason is wrong. Right. That's certainly the message you get from a culture that says, oh, they were promoting hate. You know, there are these organizations that have $300 million annual budgets or whatever it is, you know, SPLC and the ADL, these evil, dreadful organizations. Yeah. Dedicated to exposing and defeating hate.
Except for the hate of haters like Milo and Donald Trump.
let me tell you, there's a small slice of the extremist directory on the SPLC website of people who I think probably are rather ghastly, and I don't mind if you spend a lot of time telling people about the awful things they believe. Possibly even the majority of people on that website are not. And, you know, the Christians and everything they have on the SPLC. Anyway, point being, you would believe if you were just to listen to network news, to celebrities and to organizations like this, that any kind of hate, any time, for any reason, is an intrinsically unacceptable thing. It isn't. And in fact, we all feel it. We can't help but feel it.
Well, there's an irony, though, because the people who often talk about wiping out hate, they don't really mean that. What they really mean is wipe out the people that we hate and whom we have given ourselves full permission to hate.
Yes. And the thing is, it's tough to take lessons from people who have such an ugly theology, if you like, that they can make no space for forgiveness. I don't mind if, you know, I have friends who are Orthodox, friends who are this, friends who are that, friends even who are atheists, shock horror. But the thing that they have in common, the people that I choose to surround myself with, is that they share some key, you know, noble characteristics. They tend to be compassionate. They tend to be forgiving. The kinds of people we're talking about, the people who have decided that none of the rest of us are allowed to hate anything anymore, are people who stand alone and unique in lacking any kind of mercy or forgiveness whatsoever. There can be no possible forgiveness for past slips or sins. You know, the cancel culture is all about demonstrating through fear and intimidation that there can be no forgiveness even for the slightest misstep.
Well, which is how we know cancel culture is antithetical to Christian faith and to grace, and is ultimately atheist cultural Marxism, because that do you find a framework where you can say we can have no grace here.
Right. So I refuse to take lectures from people like this, and therefore, you know, my next book is going to be an attempt to rehabilitate getting in touch with atavistic feelings we all have. You know, when you hate something, when you have a feeling of revulsion, it's like disgust. you may feel your hands and feet getting cold as the blood rushes to the center of your body. Well, there's a reason for that. Your body is preparing for war. Your body is getting ready for a fight, protecting its organs and sacrificing your extremities. Because when you see something that produces hate in you, you have an evolutionary response that prepares you to hit it or to hit something and get out of there. You know, that's what your body's doing. When you see something, it makes you go, you know, and that's what happens when you see Drag Queen Story Hour and you like lose your mind. Your body is physically preparing for a fight. You can't just deny that exists. You can't just pretend that that's not happening. So what I want to do in the book is explain to people that this is a normal, healthy, and indeed entirely necessary natural instinct that also serves a spiritual purpose, which is to help you distinguish between the things you should be around and the things that you should seek to destroy if you possibly can.
Okay, and let's be very clear, because people will say this. When you say trying to rehabilitate hate in your cheeky, provocative way, you by no means mean...
I'm talking about righteous indignation. I'm not talking about
beating up... No, I'm talking about the object. I'm talking that you're talking about not hating people because God loves them and died for them, but you're talking about hating the very things that harm those people.
Yes, and it is perfectly right and appropriate to hate the bad things that we do to ourselves, the bad things that we do to each other, and the bad things that are done by society, which increase the sum total of human misery and which imperil our immortal souls. That's what I'm talking about.
What I think is, the big takeaway here is that the reason you're able to do what you do, specifically this idea of opening up this clinic in Florida, is because you have courage. And that is what is lacking in the leadership class, certainly in corporate leadership, but also in political leadership. Apart from Trump and a handful of people, there is no willingness to go against whatever cultural norms were invented 5 minutes ago.
I don't perceive it that way in myself. I've always been aware that I had a responsibility because I had certain gifts to serve if I can.
You're also humble, which is good.
Well, yeah.
But I'm saying when you put it that way, nobody likes to be told, you're courageous. But I'm just telling you, how can you do this?
I like to pretend to be egotistical, but I'm not really. And I play one on TV.
Right.
Always felt a duty. And this might just be being British, I don't know. I've always felt a duty, if you can, then you should, you know? And I'm one of those people that's lucky enough to have fairly strong willpower. When I was a smoker, and a serious smoker, you know, a real smoker, I stopped in a day because I just decided this is not what I do anymore.
Right.
And I've had very much the same experience with this new journey. I mean, I've slipped once in the last year, but once in a year at the first attempt is like almost unheard of. I'm quite good at doing that within myself. And so if I can go through these journeys relatively quickly and successfully and assimilate a lot of information about them quickly, find out what it's all about, know all the major characters, and understand it fast, then maybe I can help other people do it too.
And I'm sure you can. We'll be back more with Milo Yiannopoulos. Hey folks, you certainly heard me talk about MyPillow and how their products have literally changed my life. Now, have you tried the pillow? They don't go flat. You can wash them, dry them as many times as you want, and they maintain their shape. They're made in the USA, and for a limited time, Mike Lindell is offering his premium MyPillows for the lowest price ever. You can get a standard queen premium MyPillow for $29.98. It's originally $69.98. That's a $40 savings. Kings are only $5 more. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener's square, and use promo code ERIC. There you'll find not only this amazing offer, but also deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and MyPillow Towel Sets. Folks, you know I use these products, and they're fantastic. Call 800-978-3057 and use promo code ERIC. Or call 800-978-3057. Use the promo code ERIC.
What is the worth of a soul to Christ? Is it the same now as it was 2,000 years ago? In Pillars of Barabbas, author M.D. House shows how the times of the early Christian church differed little from our own, including the treacherous moral and political waters Christ's saints have always had to navigate with His abiding help. Everything they did and said is applicable to our day, and we are fundamentally no better than them. For instance, the Apostle Paul did not fear the Roman Emperor Nero. He served the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. True followers of Christ should always influence secular rule so that His church can be the beacon on a hill inviting all to come unto Him. Order this powerful testimonial, Pillars of Barabbas by M.D. House, now on Amazon, and feel the inspiring legacy left to us by those faithful followers of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Girl, to be with you. Folks, I'm talking to Milo Yiannopoulos. Milo, you're saying a lot of interesting things here, which is very unlike you. What's going on?
Well, I'm just trying to raise the tone. You're having hissy fits about cream in your coffee and the breaks. You know, just trying to.
I need the caffeine, man.
Do you know what? I'm a viewer of the show, and I thought to myself, I need to inject a little intellectualism.
Class, you know,
because if there's one
thing, it's pronounced class.
Class. If there's one thing that Eric Metaxas needs, it's a little frisson of class and sophistication.
A frisson. How about a soupçon?
A full frisson. Of class, sophistication, erudition. I thought you were lacking in as well. So I thought I would show up today and try to just introduce a little bit of bookishness, a little bit of a literary bent. These are all things that you are known to lack.
Yeah.
So,
I'm a populist hooligan.
That's exactly what I think.
Yale cranks out populist hooligan. Underneath this carapace, double-breasted suit, I'm wearing a red union suit, and that's I chop wood in it, and that's good enough for me. Let's move on just a bit here. You've said then that there is no such thing as someone who's inherently same sex attracted.
No.
And so let me ask you, because I know that when you were a younger man, you had girlfriends. So we keep buying into this idea that everyone is this or this or this. I'm old enough to remember when Time Magazine was an actual magazine, and I remember they had Ellen DeGeneres on there saying, "Yep, I'm gay." And everywhere she went, Al Gore and Bill Clinton feted her and her girlfriend, Anne Heche, at the time. Mm. And this is presented like this is the new phase, the gay women. And, 5 minutes later, Anne Heche decides, no, I'm a heterosexual. She gets married. She has kids. And you don't hear boo, because that doesn't fit the narrative. This happens over and over. I have had friends, men, who were in the gay lifestyle. They leave it aside. They get married. They have kids. I mean, those people don't exist in our culture. You don't see them. You don't hear about them. Of course, they do exist, but they're not allowed to be existing in the media.
It's a bit different with women. I mean, lesbian is not a thing. There are no lesbians. I mean, women have very malleable sexualities, and occasionally a woman will... There's probably like 5 people who are actual real lesbians, probably Tammy Bruce and Camille Parley, and they're the only ones. But every other woman is kind of wandering backwards and forwards between men and women in their life, and everybody who knows a lesbian knows that's true. The nature of female sexuality is completely different.
Okay, I didn't mean to go down that rabbit trail. I'm just making a larger point that narrative of someone switching and becoming
right, but I'm saying it's
straight,
important because it's
you never hear about it.
No, sure, but it's different, right? You would expect a woman to go backwards and forwards, and they all do. But male homosexuality seems to be a bit more sticky, right? When a man gets stuck into these habits, these behaviors, he tends not to come back out of it again. On the whole. So on those rare occasions, you're right. Of course, yes, the media covers all this stuff up. Doesn't fit the narrative. We know all that. On the rare occasion that a man flips back or aims to get themselves out of a sinful and self-destructive way of life, that's something we really ought to celebrate and see. I'm not bothered that people talk about lesbians going backwards and forwards, because they do that their whole life. It's not news when any of them do it. But it is news when a man does it. And we ought to make as much of an effort as we can to fight the enforced, you know, the omerta of the mainstream media when it comes to men who are seeking to find their way out of this lifestyle. Because when a man does it, it's a big deal, and it doesn't happen very often. I wish it did, and I hope to be part of making it happen more often.
Well, I guess my point is that I do know a number of men for whom it has happened, and they are not allowed to exist. In other words, you could never believe that that's the case. And yet I do know people like that, and it's possible, obviously. Are you familiar with the writings of Leanne Payne? That is somebody who you must and will look into along these lines.
She sounds like a dominatrix, so I think I would have avoided that if I'd seen it on
the show. P-A-Y-N-E, and I think she's recently deceased. She's a truly...
I'm late for Leanne Payne.
her books are fantastic. And on this subject, and many people have experienced healing, spiritual healing, through her ministry was in Chicago. Anyway, we'll all find it out. But so I guess this brings up a question. Do you ever foresee yourself finding a wife and having a family?
It's asking a lot.
Well, sure.
I know people who were where I am now who were here 20 years ago and who now have children and a wife and are very happy, which is very inspirational to me. But for want of a better expression, they weren't quite such enthusiastic homosexuals to begin with, I think. So, I'm aspiring to and just about holding on to celibacy for now.
Yeah.
And that's as much as I am hoping for at the moment. As to whether you will see a beautiful Latina and lots of little Latinopolises, by my side at an awards ceremony in 20 years, who knows? But I certainly hope so. I'll be honest with you right now, the prospect is not exciting to me. Well, physically or otherwise.
It needn't be. And look, I just want to be clear that it really makes no difference. You're open to what God's plan is for you. And as he heals you, as he heals all of us, we change and our affections change. We're going to go to a break. Final segment coming up with Milo Yiannopoulos.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow. Songs you hear on the rock and roll radio. And when a young girl doesn't have any friends.
Folks, final segment with Milo Yiannopoulos. Milo, you said some really provocative things, and I just want to go back to this idea that sometimes it takes someone with a certain kind of personality to do something. The reason people aren't opening up clinics to help gays come out of the lifestyle is because the cultural pressure not to do that has just become horrifying. We're not living in a really free society, and these kinds of ideas aren't permitted. Another person who strikes me as similar to you in this is Donald Trump. Somebody who says, I don't care what people think, I'm going to do what I want to do, and that's that.
I've always been this way. I don't give myself any special credit for being remarkable.
You're
giving me plenty already, I can't imagine caring what anybody thinks.
Right.
Like, I can't imagine being troubled, like being awake at night, staring at the ceiling, unable to sleep because the New York Times doesn't like something I said.
Yeah.
Who are these people?
Right.
I mean, and I know that it's the vast majority of the population. I get that. But I don't share that psychology.
I'm glad you don't.
I cannot personally wrap my head around why somebody would care that a nasty, vindictive, wretched person, miserable cat lady in New York, and her little editorial team of weasels, scoundrels, liars, and libelers find something I said offensive or believes it to be incorrect. I cannot fathom how anybody could bring themselves to be remotely bothered by that.
Yeah.
Why are you? Get over it. It's stupid.
Well, there's a little bit of a hangover because the New York Times was once not what you just said.
I'm not
said.
Just talking about them. I'm saying anybody, you know, the Daily Beast, whatever.
Yeah.
I just wish, and I know that it's a constitutional thing, and I can't take credit because I didn't train. I'm trying to train my soul in virtue in a variety of ways, but I didn't train myself into this. I just never cared. And I know that that's unusual, but I just wish that people could try to like embody the spirit of, you know, whoever your favorite is, Trump, Milo, whatever. And just try to like live a little bit more like it doesn't matter what your enemies say about you, because it only does if you care. It only matters if you allow them to kneecap you, to gag you, to manacle you, to chain you to the floor when you should be flying. It doesn't matter what they think about you. They don't matter. They hate you. They're never going to like anything you say. I don't get why people are upset by the ramblings of their of people who wish they were dead. I don't get it, but I it's just how I was born. I don't know.
You're a sick person.
I'm obviously not well, but
it is interesting because I think courage begets courage, and if you live in a culture where everybody just says just go along with whatever you're being told, it becomes easier to do that. And so when someone says no, I'm not going to do that. Other people, like the people that are writing to you, say, oh, my goodness, I didn't know that it was permitted to say that or think that. And so you help them. But it's the same theory about, when the gay community said that we need to all come out. Why? Because when you say something loudly, it does something. And all the wrong people have been doing it is my point.
I think America is structured in all kinds of different ways to reward conformity, mediocrity, predictability. I think that there are all kinds of ways, from culture to retail purchasing habits, you know, loyalty points, down all the way to, you know, the spiritual choices you make. America is structured in every conceivable way to reward people who do the same thing, the same unremarkable things over and over and over and over again. That's what this country seems to want. So people who are courageous or dissident or obnoxious in any kind of way, good or bad, tend to get crushed quickly by a system that needs obedient citizens. And it's just, for all of the great, perhaps fatal systemic problems with Europe, the UK where I come from, it's at least not so there. You can still be an eccentric and still be and still, you know, be mainstream and be accepted there. But when I came here expecting this to be the land that would, you know, accommodate free thinkers, what a joke. What a joke. And it's so sad. It breaks my heart.
But I would say that the America to which you came is not really fully America.
No, but the mythology of America, which drew me here.
Yeah.
Clashing with the reality that I've been living for the last half decade. It's heartbreaking.
Well, but in a way, Milo, you are here to help us come back to America. In other words, that's the idea, is that anyone who is doing what you're doing, and I tried to do some of it myself, what we're trying to do is reorient people toward actual freedom.
Well, there's a long history of this, isn't it? Sort of Europeans of all people coming over to America and reminding Americans to be American, whether it's, you know, de Tocqueville or Hitchens or whatever. You know, so if I can drop some ink into the water as well, then good stuff.
Ink into the water as well. We've just got a couple of minutes left, and before you know it, I'm going to have to take this phone call. So let me just say, we want to know when your book is going to be coming out. Are you writing it?
Yes. So it's nearly done. It'll be on pre-sale in about a week. It's called Make America Hate Again.
And when were you going to tell us this? Well, so the book is nearly done. It's going to be on pre-sale. This is wonderful.
I know, but I'm so British. I hate self-promotion. That will make everybody watching this laugh heartily.
That's really funny.
But I actually hate it. I get attention just from, I don't know, just being myself. But the idea of, like, you know, like, I find self-promotion so gauche. I hate it. I go through hour-long interviews and just forget to mention I've got a book coming out.
So the buses with your picture on the side and stuff, that wasn't self-promotion? What was that? Well, was that wallflower stuff?
No, I mean, I didn't choose to have a bus. But since I was going to have one, I may as well have something provocative on the side. But no, I'm actually suck at self-promotion. And that will be that's a nice way for us to end, and a preposterous statement, but I swear it's true.
All right. Well, then, because I believe in you and what you have to say, let me promote you. The book is called Make America Hate Again.
Yes.
And
meaning specifically and technically, of course.
And it's not spelled H-A-I-G-H-T. This is not about returning to flower power in Carnaby Street. This is about rock-ribbed American-style hatred for the things that are bad. And I think I could say in closing, I really, from the bottom of my heart, hate that shirt you're wearing.
I'm going to have to retire it.
Actually, I don't really hate it.
I know you don't.
I just want to say something along those lines. Milo, I'm going to embarrass you, and I'm going to tell you I love you, and I'm very proud of you, and I'm grateful for your forthrightness. Many people in my audience and beyond will also be grateful for it. So we're going to stay in touch with you. How can people reach you? Are you on Gab at present? You're going to be on Frank. You're going to be on frankspeech.com.
Who even cares?
Yeah,
who even cares? If you don't know how to find me already, you're not the kind of connoisseur I want. You'll have to listen to me the next time I'm on Eric's show.
The same old Milo. The one we're trying to expunge and repair and convert. Thank you, my friend.
It's a process.
God bless you.
It's a process. God bless you. Thank you.
Toledo. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Folks, this is our sixth anniversary.
Yes.
Albin and Chris, can you believe it?
I can't believe it. I've been on for about 3.5 years, and Chris had the helm for two and a half.
We were so young back then. We were just boys. Yeah. Just boys playing. Yeah.
It was up in the Empire State Building. We were like a couple baby King Kongs.
You were both growing mustaches, and they never quite came in.
I love the fact that, Chris, if people are looking at the video, I'm behind you. What is that?
So you are in front of the mirror today, and it's very Inception-y, you know? And so I thought I would just take a still frame of you behind the mirror, and that's my background. That's my virtual background.
Me out. You're basically saying happy birthday to the Eric Metaxas Show. This is your sixth visual way of doing that.
Visual.
We got some business to do here. First of all, today it's Milo Yiannopoulos, both hours. Folks, I promise you, you don't want to miss this. You don't want to miss it, both hours. You can see it visually on Rumble. We can't post it on YouTube because it's so controversial. So it's on Rumble. If you get my newsletter at ericmetaxas.com, we send these things right to your inbox, and you do not have to think or look very hard. We should mention I'm in California speaking in San Marcos, Signal Hill, Thousand Oaks all this week. That's number one. Number two, if you missed the opening 10 of hour two today, you can find it on YouTube. But I share some stuff that I don't have time to go into right now. But I think I share a real miracle story from a couple of days ago. A real, real miracle story. I don't think you want to miss it. Also, Mike Lindell is launching Frank's Speech. And it has been really like a mess. People are like Chinese government hackers are messing with him. And yeah. I don't know. I'm supposed to be on the table, but go to frankspeech.com. Sign up, please. Frankspeech.com. Dude's a hero as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
And we have a new, speaking of Mike Lindell, since he's being so persecuted, you can thank him by going to mypillow.com or mystore.com. and purchasing many things with the code ERIC. Please do that. We have another new sponsor on the program, Nutramedics. We'll have the founders of that on this program to kind of explain what it is. But the short form version of who Nutramedics is, Nutramedics.com, by the way, also use the code ERIC. But Nutramedics.com, they make supplements. So lots of stuff that I already take, vitamin D, except they link it with vitamin K. So you only have to take one pill, and I'll explain that another time. Vitamin D, zinc, magnesium, stevia, I don't know, everything. Like all the different supplements they have, melatonin. And it's super high quality. But what really sells me on it is I'm already taking this stuff. They, Nutramedics.com, give half of their profits, half, to missions and to wonderful charities that I would assume most of us would be excited about. So if you're going to give your money to a company to buy supplements, why wouldn't you go to Nutramedics.com, use the code Eric, you get a discount. And I guess we should probably mention SalemNow.com. If you're looking for something to watch other than Lindell TV or this program, if you go to SalemNow.com, they've got all kinds of movies. Again, use the code Eric. What are they featuring right now, Chris?
Well, it's Church People with a couple of your friends in it, right? The Baldwins, for example.
It's loaded with Baldwins. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Mike Lindell is in that too. We're getting really, really inbred at this point. We need to bust out.
Yeah. Hey, Eric, I was thinking, I know you had to go on the Frank TV show and the Chinese were kind of messing with Mike. Is there any truth to the rumor on the internet that they tried to make a counterfeit Eric Metaxas to steal your guest slot?
Yes. Yes, that's exactly true. That show is happening right now. And here's what I hate. Man, those Chinese bureaucrats, they are Marxists, but one thing they're good at is TV. And their show, doggone it, is 10% more entertaining than this show. And the guy doesn't even look like me. By the way, I want to show people how to wear a mask. This is very important before we go to the break. You see this pocket square?
Yes.
Actually, it's not a pocket square at all. It's a mask. And everybody needs to wear the mask. Hey, happy anniversary. Great to see you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.